Zyn nicotine pouches deliver nicotine satisfaction anywhere, anytime, which means Zyn pairs well with you, your personality, your schedule, and your spontaneity. Zyn fits easily into your bag, pocket, and into your life because it's smoke-free, hands-free, and hassle-free. So the only person who will know you have a Zyn pouch in is you. Visit Zyn.com or head to your local convenience store today to find your Zyn. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
School of Humans. On May 24th, 2018, police went back and did another search of Chalamont Park. That's when they found Ebby's body. Now, for the first time, there was a crime scene. I remember back in 2018, I was driving between Little Rock and the Ozarks, and I was deep into my investigation of Rebecca Gould's case, the case we covered in the first season of this podcast. Like everyone else in the state of Arkansas, I had heard about Ebby's case when it happened. When I saw on the news that her remains were found, I remember feeling not exactly happy, but I definitely felt hopeful for her family. I thought, maybe now the investigation can stop being such a wild goose chase and they can finally get some answers and some justice. But since Ebby's body was found, there have been no major developments. It's 2022 now. Officially, this is still an open and active investigation. Unofficially, the case appears to have gone stone cold. We're still stuck in the same cycle, hearing the same rumors and the same narrative that we were hearing back in 2015, that there are multiple people of interest, that no one has been ruled out and no one has been ruled in. This has been extremely frustrating for Ebby's family.
Why are they on the radar? Don't just say on the radar. Why are they still on there?
Once again, I have some people telling me to leave things up to law enforcement. And I know from experience that once you start digging up dark secrets, life can get messy and complicated for a lot of people. But I also know from experience that sometimes digging is the only way to get answers and justice. It's time to stir things up. I'm Katherine Townsend. This is Hell and Gone. Mike and I have been in Little Rock for a couple of days, and we're trying to get information about an open case. I've talked to Detective Tommy Hudson several times. Tommy is the detective who's responsible for organizing the search inside the drain pipes in the park where Ebby's body was discovered in 2018. But it's pretty clear that police will not release any information about the evidence they have so far, about any potential suspects, or really anything else. Tommy retired from the Little Rock Police Department in September 2021. And when that happened, Ebby's case went to a new detective. His name is Bruce Maxwell.
Record your message at the tone. When you are finished, hang up or press pound for more options.
Hi, Bruce. This is Catherine Townsend. I've been working on a podcast about Ebby Stepick's case.
We're waiting on a callback from Bruce to touch base and let him know what we're doing. And also, to see if we can find out anything from him. But first, we agree we need to take a more detailed look at the crime scene. Mike and I head back to Chalamont Park. The drain where Ebby was found is a storm drain. It's used to drain water when it rains so the park doesn't flood. It looks pretty normal. There's an opening at the curb about 5 feet long for the water to fall through, and then there's a manhole cover at the top. Laurie meets us there.
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
Thank you. Didn't mean for you to have to rush over. I'm sorry.
No, I wasn't very far away.
She gets her husband, Ebby's stepdad, Michael, on the phone. He's helping direct us.
And crawling down here, it's sort of a, you got to figure out how to grab, you got to lower yourself in it, put your feet on the little things.
I see the little things.
I climb down the rungs on the side of the drain, and I get to the bottom, about 18 feet down.
Woo! All right. Hey, we're down.
The floor of the drain is covered in leaves. And once you're down here, you can see the opening to another pipe. But you can't see this from the top.
What does it look like down there? It is I would say about half of me, 3 foot opening. Sorry, my voice is shaking. It's because I actually am scared of small spaces, but I'll be fine.
I'll come down there with you. I want to go look at something.
Okay, oh, yeah, just one sec, Mike. Let me try to get the light on.
Mike and I look into the pipe. The opening is only about 13 inches across.
It's about one and a half my body length, I was thinking, if I was to try to go in there. That's about to be right.
Yeah, it's close to 8-9 feet in before that turn.
I would say it's about, like, I could definitely crawl in here, but I'm not sure. I couldn't turn around to come back out. Yeah, you'd have to get pulled out. And I could slide, and then what are we going to do?
You're going to buy me
a lot of therapy. Yeah, you'll get me out of there.
I will get you out of there.
And even though I really don't want to, I crawl into the pipe. I squeeze my shoulders into the pipe. But then, after that, once my shoulders cleared, I can't move my arms down here. You can really tell that the pipe angles down, and even on a dry day, it's slippery. Mike has to grab my ankles to pull me out. I also try going in feet first.
In the pipe, I can't. My arms are out. If I put my arms like Superman, like forward, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull myself out of here. In fact, I'm sure that I can't.
If I was on my own down here, I'm afraid that I could have slid farther down.
When it's slick with water and algae and stuff, it's just like a little, it's like a slide. It's downward sloping.
It's like a slide.
It slopes downward.
If you pushed me down there and there was water and stuff, it would be easy to do.
Despite my claustrophobia, it was super important to come down here. Because one thing becomes clear. There is no way that Ebby could have accidentally fallen into this pipe from the top.
But also, if someone had just dropped something here, I mean, I'm just going to be... So, like, someone drops something here, it's not going to naturally go in there. It would be just what I just did.
Before we leave Chalamont Park, Laurie makes another call to try and get in touch with Detective Bruce Maxwell.
Hey, Bruce. Please call me back as soon as you can. I have some stuff I really need to tell you about.
Hey, y'all. It's Catherine. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes. And it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security. It's the home security system that I use and recommend. I personally love SimpliSafe because it is so customizable. You can get all the bells and whistles. You can have a professional come and install it. You can get things like smart door locks, but it also has other sensors that can detect things like temperature changes, fires, and floods.
Or if you want to keep it really simple and you don't need all that, for a very affordable price, you can have a great basic security system in your home that you can DIY and even a non-tech savvy person like me can install themselves. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/HelenGone. That's simplisafe.com/HelenGone. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The police believe that Ebby's body was in the pipe the entire time since she went missing in 2015. That means 2.5 years of water and rain coming through that drain, pushing her body further down. Forensics on a case like this, where a body has been exposed to the elements for years, can make determining manner of death more complicated. I called up a forensics expert, Vidal Herrera.
We are the Rodney Dangerfield of medicine. We don't get any respect. This is a thankless profession. It never stops.
Vidal's been working in the death care industry for almost 50 years. He was a deputy medical investigator in L.A., and in 1988, he founded the company 1-800-AUTOPSY. The company provides access to a network of professionals who can perform autopsies and offer second opinions in cases where families are dealing with a mysterious death. Its motto is, the deceased must be protected and given a voice.
Every death has its unique story and circumstances, so we're only concerned about the body. Because you get so many different stories from different agencies, different witnesses, and a lot of times they only want to tell you what they want you to hear. The body will tell you what happens.
I told Vidal about Ebby And in a case like this, where it's been years, the body will likely have very little helpful forensic evidence.
Because it's going to be washed away, it's going to be eaten away. I don't know how much clothing there were. And you have to take into consideration the climates. Thunderstorms, tornadoes, you have rain, you have snow, and then you have carnivorous creatures. The razorbacks, the wild animals, rodents, maggots.
What about toxicology? I mean, is there any toxicology you can do after that long?
The only toxicology you could do is in her bone marrow. If she has some hair left, you can also do the toxicology in the hair. When you do a toxicology, it's a history of drugs. It's just not what she ingested, you know, 24 hours before that. She may have had injecting or inhaling or something. It would be in her hair and in her bone marrow because there's no viable tissue left. After that time, most of the creatures ate it all.
And when someone calls you, if this was a call, right, and her family called you for a second opinion, what steps would you recommend that someone take?
Usually what we do is ask them, why do you want a second opinion? Well, I can't sleep. I can't rest. So then when they go over the details of the information like this, just say if the mother would have called me, I would have said, honestly, ma'am, there's really nothing we can do. Thank God that she was identified. But right now, there's really no tissue remaining that's going to answer your question as to why she died. Her circumstances, where her body was located, that Morris is going to say a lot in itself. But in the physicality of something viable to collect, it's not there.
Since we don't have access to Ebby's case file, we can't see her autopsy report or any information about the state of the body in the crime scene where she was found. Officially, we don't have any forensic information or any determination on the manner or cause of death. Vidal says he's run across plenty of cases like this before.
The transparency, after 6 months, every record should be available. For them to say it's under investigation, that's fucking bullshit. That's unacceptable.
During one of our interviews at Laurie's house, Mike and I asked about what she and Ebby's stepdad, Michael, knew about the forensics of the case.
I went down with Tommy Hudson and Peter, her dad, and met with the coroner. They gave us some information, but wouldn't give us everything. They won't tell us all the specifics. They did tell us there were certain things ruled out, and then there were things that they wouldn't disclose. Tommy and them wouldn't tell me the position of the body, you know, head first, feet first, up, down, none of that.
He said also that's for the killer to know. And
did they tell you if they ruled, they said the manner of death was homicide?
I believe that's what's on the death certificate is homicide, but I think it's also listed as undetermined.
Manner of death has a few options: natural, accidental, suicide, or homicide. There's also undetermined, meaning that everything could still be on the table, including the possibility that Ebby crawled down in that pipe herself. But if we believe that Ebby crawled down the drain herself, she would also have to close that very heavy manhole cover over her. When we were at Chalmont Park, Michael told us about a reenactment that the FBI did at the scene.
The girl that did the reenactment part for the FBI got down in there in all the different ways that we're talking about. But they also put the cover back on it.
During this FBI recreation, they had a female agent who was about Ebby's height and weight try to get down into that pipe. The agent in the recreation was able to close the manhole cover, but it was tough. And this was in broad daylight. But from the phone call with Trevor, we know that Ebby was extremely disoriented. And it was after 5:30 p.m., sundown was at 6:23 p.m. that day, so it would have been getting dark or pitch black. And even if Ebby could have crawled down and covered the manhole somehow, why would she? Was she trying to hide from someone? Or was she there alone? One part of this case that's never been fully covered in the public is Ebby's mental health issues. Her family tells us that she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and that she had gone off her medication in the past. She was also prescribed two other drugs, which she was taking for medical conditions that were unrelated to bipolar disorder. Because Ebby's brother Trevor said that she was slurring her words and appeared to be really intoxicated during their last phone conversation, we do have to consider the possibility that she could have been affected by mixing her medication with possibly another drug or drinking alcohol. People experiencing bipolar disorder can experience paranoia and audio and visual hallucinations. But Laurie says that to her knowledge, Ebby never experienced that. Ebby had been dealing with bipolar disorder and exhibiting erratic behavior for a long time, but she did have certain patterns. For example, Ebby always had her phone with her, so why would she leave it behind? And even with her nomadic lifestyle, she was always with people, like Danielle or with her grandparents or Trevor or other friends. She was in constant contact with people. So why would she go to Chalamont Park alone? Here's Danielle.
There was no reason for her to go sit in a park by herself at night. Ebby wasn't the type of person, hey, let me just go sit in this park for a little bit. The way that I think, she went there with intentions of meeting someone she knew. Listen, she had a strong personality, but she wasn't stupid. She was very, very smart. And for her to just think, oh, hey, let me go sit in the park at night. No, like that's so out of the ordinary for me to even, I couldn't even process that through my head. Even if she would have told me, I'm going to go sit in a park at night by myself.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you're too smart for that. Like, I know you wouldn't do that.
Almost everyone we've talked to thinks it's extremely unlikely that Ebby could have gone down in that pipe herself. Even Tommy Hudson, the detective who investigated the case for years. I asked him point blank about the manner of death.
And I know you're not releasing the cause of death, but is it manner of death homicide or manner of death undetermined?
Not gonna say.
Okay.
And there's just there's a reason for that is, sure. You know, I mean, it's my standard answer on the cause of death is, we investigate everything as a homicide until proven otherwise. You know, it only people that know that is Ebby and the killer, and
right.
You know, so I think that needs to remain that way. People disagree with me about some people do at the police department, but then again, these are the people that have the investigation on the front end, and I don't give them that much weight. She didn't crawl down there by herself. Somebody put her down there.
While we wait to see if we can get any more information from the new detective, Bruce Maxwell, we're going to see if there's anything we can do to eliminate some of the suspects. Because what Laurie said sticks with me.
There can be 25 people on the radar. Why are they still on there?
And when we talked to Tommy Hudson, he confirmed that. No one has been officially ruled out.
Everybody's on the radar still.
So who are these multiple people of interest? First, there are the four guys she was with at the small party on Friday night. The friend who drove Ebby to the party has never been publicly identified, but we know who he is. Let's call him by his first initial, C. We've also been able to identify the other guys at the party. L is the guy that Ebby is accusing of sexual assault. L also attended Central High with Ebby and was a talented football player. And we know that on Saturday, Ebby was at her grandparents' house during the day. While she was there, Ebby texted C. In that text message, Ebby told C that she believed that L had been filming her during that sexual encounter at that party. She asked for L's number. C texted her that phone number. He also texted that he had spoken to L, and L denied having a video. After Ebby went missing, police did talk to C and L. But according to Laurie, the police only interviewed them once, and their phones were not subpoenaed. And ever since that weekend, no one else has been able to talk to them. Not the web sleuths, not the private investigators, not the FBI, not even Tommy.
When I got the case, I was never able to formally interview these guys because they'd all retained counsel, because between the detectives that had the case prior to me getting the case and then all the private investigators that were involved in pursuing the case at that time, along with the people that were sitting in their underwear at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to investigate the case, it shot all those all those good interviews that you could have done with those guys on the front end to help eliminate them. Since I've left, I don't think they've still been interviewed or swabbed because, number one, you're not going to be able to get a search warrant to get a swab.
No one has been able to talk to these guys since Ebby went missing in 2015. So that's what we're going to try to do. We're going to go track down C.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpert.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
with zero qualifications,
she had a Harvard plaque,
tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are going to take exit 129A.
Mike, my producer, Gabby, and I are all heading to C's house.
We're going to get close. We're going to figure out if he's home or not. We're going to go knock on the door, and we're going to try to just talk to him.
If you look at any articles about Ebby's death, these guys, while they haven't been referred to by name, remain suspects in the eyes of the public because their names have never publicly been cleared. Shortly after Ebby went missing, we're told that all of the guys got lawyers, so it's impossible to get them on the phone. We're being careful because we've been warned that C and his friends could be dangerous. I've heard this before, but I take everything I hear with a grain of salt, and in any case, I'm not going to let it stop me. Plus, this time, I have Mike with me. When we pull up near the address we have for C, we see a woman outside. We drive past and then turn around, and finally, Mike and I get out of the car and walk over.
Thanks, Brandon.
Sure.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, I do a podcast called Hell and Gone. We're doing the Ebby Steffett case, and so we just really just wanted to talk about it.
As soon as we mentioned Ebby's name and told her what we were working on, she knew exactly why we were there. She says she's C's mom. And while she didn't want to do an official interview, she did spend around 20 minutes talking to us.
No, that was great. She was great. She was great. You could tell she really wanted to talk, but wasn't supposed to. You could feel the, like, pent-up resentment. I was actually kind of hoping we'd run into one of his parents.
Here's what happened. She let us know that he will not be talking. She said this is something that's basically tortured them for years. There's a lot of anger toward Ebby's family because she feels like her son was kind of thrown under the bus. And she just says, look, he didn't have anything to do with it. He saw her on Friday night. He was really cooperative with her when, I guess she meant probably those texts we saw where it was like, you know, I need this guy's number, et cetera. And he gave her the number. And she says he didn't talk to her at all after that Friday. Even though their names haven't been published in the media, C's mom said this has followed her son around and haunted him for years. This is clearly something that has had a massive impact on his life. His mom says he has a good job now and is on a good path. When Ebby went missing, she said that police checked out his alibi and verified that he was either at his job or somewhere else all weekend. She said she doesn't understand why her son and his friends haven't been publicly cleared. I feel for people who are put in positions where they might not have done anything and their name gets brought up. I really do, and I've spent a lot of my time trying to get those people cleared. At the same time, you know, the reality is there's someone dead, and there's a killer out there, and it's like, it sucks that people who were around near the time of death do have to be under scrutiny, but that's just the nature of how it is. I think it went really well. Honestly, it could have, I think it was fine. I think it was, like, in a way better than talking to him, because I have a feeling he might have just shut the door in our face, and she was much more, like,
yeah,
sincere.
Yeah, she understood why we were there.
You know what else that told me, though, that conversation, Mike, is that, so she's like, no one's coming. So that means no journalist, nobody has, like, gone there.
Yeah, talk to them.
Which is crazy. We can't officially clear C&L right now, but it's a step in the right direction. I keep thinking about something Tommy said, that there are other people who he's even more suspicious of than the guys that Ebby was with on Friday night.
But, the one thing I would say in their defense is, it's like I said earlier, there's other people that were with her way after the point that all that allegedly happened that Friday night.
Sure.
That I'm even more suspicious of than those guys. I will say that in their defense.
Right.
And we have found those people that were with her after the Friday night incident. I can track her all the way to early Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon when she talked to Trevor, which was the last person she talked to. You know, these guys that I talked to overnight, I've told Lori, they're some shady guys for me. Those guys, a couple of those guys, one in particular is really on my radar.
Who were these other guys? We need to find out where Ebby was on Saturday night after she left her grandparents. Something happened to her, something that meant that by Sunday afternoon, when Ebby called her brother Trevor for what would be her family's last ever conversation with her, she was in serious trouble. A lot can happen in 24 hours. We just got a call back from Bruce Maxwell. We're going to see him in the morning. I'm Katherine Townsend. This is Hell and Gone. Hell and Gone is a production of School of Humans and iHeartRadio. It's written and hosted by me, Katherine Townsend, and produced by Gabby Watts and Michael Dowd. Our executive producers are Brandon Barr, Elsie Crowley, and Virginia Prescott. Mix and master is by Ryan Peoples, and our music is by Ben Salee. If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Ebbie Stepick, you can call our tip line at 678-632-6159.
School of Humans. School of Humans.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.